for your Wednesday afternoon now. Somebody to make you feel better with some good thoughts and tips on staying mobile, staying supple. It is Alex Newton, the Beeston chiropractor.
Good afternoon, Alex.
Hello. Hello. You're a chiropractor and you work in the field of chiropractic.
Well done.
Yeah. What is it, 2.5 years now? I'm nearly getting there.
Oh, bless you.
And the basis of what you do, it is to do with sort of manipulating joints with your hands, isn't it? Just so people know what a chiropractic
The direct translation for chiropractor is done by hand. Chiro meaning hand, practic, yep, as in practica. So done by hand. So the majority of the adjustments or manipulations are done purely with the chiropractor's hand. So there are some utensils or instruments that some chiropractors tend to use for various reasons to be able to modify the technique because it might not be suitable or they like to be do it in a certainly different way. But generally the treatment is done by adjustment of the bones and the joints, so adjusting the joints by pressure through the joints from the hands, yes.
Right. And then is it joint pain specifically, joint problems specifically that you deal with?
Yes and no. We can't really isolate the joints because obviously the joints are overlaid by the muscles and the muscles are there to move the joint. So if the joint is stuck, which is what we often see, or subluxed is the correct terminology if we're going to be precise this afternoon. The subluxation of the joint or the sticking of the joint is overlain by these muscles, and obviously those muscles are affected in a way that they could either be in spasm or the ends of the muscles, which are the tendons, which are the sinew parts that attach the muscle onto the bone directly itself, they can become inflamed, and then you've got your tendonitis. So as well as adjusting or moving the joints around and correcting the position of those, we are in turn also affecting the muscles and the tendons and in turn ligaments, etc.
Right, and diagnosing what's wrong with somebody, because people sometimes don't tell you the full story, do they? So can you look at somebody's posture? Can you get them to do something that'll give you a window into what's really going on?
When a person first comes to visit a chiropractor, we spend quite a lot of time talking to the individual to start with, and that'll give us a ballpark benchmark to work from, an area to start focusing on. But once we've discussed their initial presenting symptoms and found out a lot about their medical history, because obviously that's really important to know that, because the type of treatment that will be done ultimately will depend on any types of medication or historical surgical or illnesses that's been going on there. But what we will do is then look at their posture, and we can tell often from their posture where the anomalies are occurring that could be contributing to some of their problems, because you can quite clearly see muscle spasms and imbalances in the joints. And then we'll go on to this is the nice bit about the chiropractor. We actually touch the patient, goodness me, and we actually feel how well the joints move. So we look at them moving on their own to start with, but then we actually do what we call palpation, which is actually touching each individual joint, because we appreciate how and which direction the joints move. We can tell from just touching the joint and moving the joint around how well it's moving within its normal parameters, and there we can decide which direction we need to manipulate it or adjust it back into its normal position.
And this goes back to that notion of sort of everything in the body is connected, when we have leg bones connected to the thigh bone or that sort of thing. That always becomes apparent. I think we may have discussed this in the past, when you have an issue, if your back is giving you trouble or your knee is giving you suddenly realize that we are nothing more than a mass of fibres and tissues all held together with organic nuts and bolts, really.
Finely tuned, yes.
Finely tuned, yes.
Balanced.
Well, you would say that looking at me,
all
I know.
Controlled but, yeah, by the nervous system, yes. So yeah, it all has that input from there.
So we are, I don't like to break this to people, but we are a mechanical system, aren't we, as human beings?
Very much so. And the problem is that we abuse ourselves much more than we abuse our motor cars. I mean, we try and put the best fuel in and we don't drive our cars in first gear down the motorway at 80 miles an hour, but my goodness, we do do that to our bodies a lot of the time, don't we?
I noticed we've got a bank holiday weekend coming up, and we can talk about what that might mean for people. There's also the issue of people who are stressed this time of year, particularly some of the people who are taking exams and all of the revision that goes on. It might be that you've got somebody in the house who's going through a lot of that sort of thing. Alex Newton is here talking about the world of chiropractic. And also, I want some advice on staying fit over the May Day weekend coming up, because the weather looks good. And you know what that means. Everybody's going to be going, wow, we've got a bank holiday weekend, the weather's good, let's get out, let's garden, let's get the barbecue, let's pull the barbecue out. Let's,
you know. It always brings in a crop of backs for us next week. We will be busy with back issues.
Rubbing your hands there. but no, I think genuinely you would rather people didn't have pain, and you're happy to try and stop it. So, I mean, is it just a question of warming up before getting involved in a physical activity, or knowing your limits, or are there things you can actually do that will build your strength?
All of that, yes. I think being very mindful about how you're going to tackle things. This is probably the first time I can ever remember a May Bank holiday, early May Bank holiday, that's going to be pleasant and dry and good for gardeners. And the problem is because we've had so much growth going on over the winter with all these bouts of sunshine and rain, which has allowed everything to be quite prolific within the garden. We think, oh yes, we've got sort of 2-3 days where it's going to be dry, and let's get as much done as possible. And then that's the key, is really you need to think about pacing yourself and making sure that you try and limit to what you're going to achieve and be realistic about what you're going to achieve. So certainly thinking about what you wear to start with, making sure your clothes aren't too tight or too restricted so that you can bend and turn and twist and stretch, and then so you've not got tight jeans on and tight boots or shoes that aren't allowing you to bend and squat down. Then make sure that you perhaps have 2 or 3 jobs on the go at any one time that will involve different postures. So perhaps a little bit of weeding, and then a little bit of pruning where you're perhaps stretching up, and then maybe a bit of barrowing. Or if you're going to cut the hedges or anything like that, then yes, let's cut half or a quarter of the hedge, then let's bend down and pick up the cuttings and then barrow them, and then, you know, do some stretching and bending the other way. So keeping the activities different areas, different planes of working in.
That's a really interesting and clever thought, isn't it? Because, you know, I do like to get out into the garden and do things, but I'm task fixated. I'm going to do this thing until it's done, sort of thing. Mm. And actually, what would be better?
We need to avoid that. Especially if we've not done very much at all over the winter. I mean, we've had one good weekend, and I know a lot of people went out there and really went to town on the gardens and overdid it. And we saw quite a lot of patients come in as a result of overdoing things, just because, as you said, you're very focused and very mindful about what, you know, you need to be mindful about what you're doing, but and very determined to, right, we've got to get this job done so we can move on to the next one. But step back, plan your session, have some gentle stretching beforehand, some warming up, perhaps a brisk walk around the garden to survey your land or whatever it is that you need to do before you plan what's going on. And then every sort of, same as if you were sitting at the desk for long periods of time during the day, every 20, 40 minutes or so, just stand up if you're kneeling or squatting down, weeding and things, or planting bulbs and shrubs and things, then just stand up and have a big stretch, arms above your head, gently turn left and right, side bend, and then get back down onto it again. You don't need to spend hours stretching and exercising in between activities. Just 2 or 3 minutes in between every 20 to 40 minutes or so would be helpful.
If the worst should happen and you do tween something, you feel something's not quite right, and it's not always apparent how serious or otherwise an issue is it? Sometimes it might be a few hours before it all really sort of kicks in.
Often we'll see patients who say that, you know, they were fine at the time, and they, you know, and it was later in the evening, perhaps when they sat down watching TV and then got off the settee, that they noticed that the muscles had all seized up, and that's when their back perhaps became a little bit more inflamed, and it became, went into spasm, and you had an acute episode there. So really, once you've finished exercising, it's always tempting to go and have a nice long hot bath to soothe those muscles. Try not to get it too hot. Try not to lie in there too long, but try and keep moving. And then after you've done the exercise or the activity, do some gentle stretching, some maybe yoga poses and things like that. There's lots of things, lots of apps out there on the internet nowadays. But try and keep on the move. So don't go from being very active to very sedentary. The extremes of posture will lead to some muscle spasm and problems that you will either catch up with you later that night or the next morning.
Okay. So at the weekend when I say to my wife, when you finish the gardening, can you come in and cook the dinner? That's for her own good.
Sadly, yes. Yeah. She won't, don't let her hear me say that, but yes. Pottering about afterwards would be...
I probably would come off worse if I did say that.
You might not get any dinner.
This time of year, gardening then, and there is a bit of catching up to do. Incidentally, tomorrow it's the gardening phone-in on BBC Radio Nottingham. It's not been brilliant weather-wise, so maybe a few things that you'll be catching up on this weekend. Don't go mad. Oh, be careful with the bags of compost. That's done it for me once. You know, you can buy the big... And they come in different sizes, and you don't necessarily think, do you? Because you can get like 40 litres or 60 litres. I think I came across last year a bargain, but I think it was 120 litres, and I just thought, well, I can lift a bag of compost.
Yeah. Put it in the car. If you get someone else to
get
help
somebody
you,
else
put
to put it in the car. Yeah.
But then when you're bringing it out, maybe, okay, yes, there might be a bit of clearing up to do afterwards, but open the bag, get your wheelbarrow right next to the car and empty it. A half or a quarter of the bag out before, rather than trying to struggle and lift it out of the car. Because often what happens is it gets caught on that little clip, doesn't it? And
it does.
If you lift it up, it gets caught on the boot hook, and then you end up straining your back. And then it's also be aware of twisting and lifting as well. So keep the item close to your body, hug it right to you like a big pillow, and then sort of make small steps and rotate round rather than twisting round. But bring that wheelbarrow close and hoik it into the wheelbarrow in small portion sizes.
The answer is sometimes obvious and staring us in the face, isn't it? We'll talk some more with Alex Newton for you on BBC Radio Nottingham in just a couple of minutes. Who knows? A little bit of mobility now could stave off a problem at the weekend. Alex Newton is the Beeston... can't say even Beeston today. Beeston chiropractor. And you've talked about, you know, staying safe in the garden, a little bit of a warm up and a warm down. Think of yourself as a top trained footballer. Do the warm up athlete. And the warm down. Yeah, like an athlete.
That's correct.
Yeah. My job, I think, it doesn't help when it comes to joints because I sit in a chair for the best part of 4 hours. And before coming into the studio, I sit in a different chair for the best part of 3.5 hours. So I bet you come in and wince sometimes, don't you? Not just at me, but at everybody all slouched on our chairs. Sometimes in your life you have to be doing that, though. If you've got exams and things, you're sat in an exam hall, you're sat revising. What are your thoughts on how well we sit?
Again, we need to plan. It's all about planning and being mindful of what's going on. So long periods of revision, yes, absolutely, got to be done. But again, if we are sitting at the desk, again, put that timer on. We've all got mobile phones. Put the timer on, 20 to 40 minutes. All you have to do, you don't have to change your thought pace. You just stand up and sit down again, and that reboots everything, resets everything. But also be careful that you're not sort of sitting on the floor or lounging on the bed when you're revising. Try and sit at a desk. Try and make sure that you've got a good chair. Maybe simple things like putting a couple of books under the back of the desk or the dining table so that the desk tilts towards you slightly so that you create less stress on the neck and the back of the shoulders. But again, it's all about keeping the posture variable. So standing up and sitting down every 20 minutes, half an hour or so, and then every couple of hours, go and have a walk, go and make yourself a drink, use the toilet facilities, and then come back again to it. These micro breaks are really the way forward to maintaining good mind and body to keep your... Because if you're distracted by some neck pain or back pain, then you can't focus 100% on that revision and it's not going to go in.
Yeah, difficult during an exam to be too mobile, isn't it? Somebody might think you're trying to cheat you?
Depends how long the exam is. Probably you could get away with doing a little bit of shoulder rolling and just some side bending and pelvic rocking backwards and forwards during the exam. But I think, I don't know about you, but once I was in the exam, I wasn't really thinking about anything else other than getting through that paper and getting those questions answered as quickly as possible. So, you know, make sure that you're perhaps keeping mobile before you go in. And then when you come out, go and have a nice long walk and drink plenty of water. That's always going to be good. Keep yourself rehydrated because that's really good for the brain cells, and have some healthy snacks available.
I was thinking about food. There's probably nothing you can sort of eat in a short-term way that's going to make a big difference, but longer term, does diet feed into how well our joints survive into later life? Or you know, do you see some people where you know they've been eating the wrong things, you can sort of feel that they've been eating the wrong things over their lifetime?
Yeah, a lot of patients sort of describe some joint pain and aches and pains, and we do find if they reduce things like carbohydrates, refined carbohydrates in their diet, which we're being told to stop and reduce all the time. Of course, we have this big sort of no fat and because of high cholesterol and heart conditions these days, but really we do need some healthy fats within our diet. So things like omega-3, they're really good brain food as well as joint food. But there are some natural anti-inflammatory food supplements, should I say, such as your turmeric, and obviously your omega-3 is a natural anti-inflammatory. So they're quite good if you want to take those as supplements to keep your joints from being very creaky. But they're also going to help the brain as well to reduce or increase the fats in the brain. But they're healthy fats, which is what we want to aim for.
Make it a family affair. Get into good habits at a young age and keep those on through. And you'll have a better later life, I think, is the answer there. Thank you very much indeed. Oh, we will talk next time. There was something you said about revising. It just took me back to when I was revising. Came in a big family, lots of brothers and sisters. We all sort of battled for space. My dad very helpfully built a desk for me to study at, but
fabulous.
Well, it was a plank of wood sort of screwed to the wall with a diagonal piece to hold. I wonder if people get caught up in doing that for their children. We'll talk about this another time, designing or making your own furniture at home.
As easy as possible.
Yeah.
Two books, back legs of the table, 5-degree tilt. Job done. It right. needs to be as simple as that.
Okay. I think sometimes people set out to help and maybe hinder with their good intents. But for now, thank you very much indeed. Alex Newton, chiropractor in Beeston on BBC Radio.